Here in Washington, D.C., and in 15 states from Georgia to Michigan to New York, we are waiting for an emergence on a grand scale. Cicadas are on their way out of the ground, by the billions at the very least. This particular group emerges once every 17 years, and 2004 is their time to fly. Our colleague Melissa Block headed out this week for a cicada preview.
If you're looking for cicadas that haven't yet nudged themselves out of the ground, you'll find an excellent sleuthing partner in a Basset Beagle mixed breed named Maggie.
She's the one that can find all of them.
She's got a nose for them, huh?
She didn't want to come in.
Is she eating them?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's always eating, you know, crickets to cicadas are right up her alley.
And right down the alley from where Janine Trudeau's dog has sniffed them out, pretty soon we find telltale signs of cicadas, too. They're all over this neighborhood in suburban Maryland, just outside Washington.
Oh, see, there's one, and there's one. Oh, look at this. Here's another one here, there's another one there.
We're hunkered down with entomologist Nathan Irwin. He manages the Insect Zoo at the Smithsonian Museum of Natural History.
Look at that, there, there, there.
What we're seeing are lots of small mounds of dirt. These are the signs that a cicada nymph is busy tunneling up from underground, kicking dirt out of its way, so pretty soon it can crawl out.
All of these little lumps, the mud chimney, and I'll pull one back and put it back in place. There's hole right there.
And there are just dozens of them here, aren't there?
Oh, there are dozens, and this is within just a few square feet.
Think about this. In a busy cicada area, it's estimated there are 1.5 million cicada nymphs per acre. And right now, they're heading our way. This brood of cicadas, known as Brood 10, has been underground for the last 17 years. The insects have been tapped into tree roots, feeding and fattening up. Somehow, and no one's quite sure how they know, but they know when their time is up. And once the soil temperature reaches about 64 degrees Fahrenheit, out they come by the billions.
There's somebody peeping out
right
there.
There's one.
Paula Goldberg lives in this neighborhood. She likes bugs, and she's hastened things along for this cicada nymph by putting a plastic garbage can lid on the ground to heat up the soil. Nathan Irwin gently tugs the nymph out of the ground.
It has reddish eyes. It's brown. It's about an inch to an inch and a half in length. It's turning much darker than those that I've seen in recent weeks. And this one was right up at the surface, almost kind of peeking out and looking around. But their goal is to find a vertical surface to climb up, because what they need to do is they need to be hanging on vertically so they can split the exoskeleton, and out will come the adult, which will be a very pale, creamy white color. It'll be soft, just as with a soft-shell crab. You could call it soft-shell cicada.
And that's the point when, if you're so inclined, you might go out on a cicada hunt and toss your harvest into a stir-fry pan or a pie crust, if you're so inclined.
See that little style-like beak right there between his front legs?
Yeah? No, he doesn't like you doing that, does he?
Well, I'm just pulling it out a little bit. It's almost like a dentist saying open wide.
These cicadas have had 17 years of prelude. Their actual showtime is tiny, a month-long rumpus. Once they drop their skins and unfurl their wings, they fly around. The males make a huge racket. They mate. The females lay eggs in trees. The adults die. The eggs hatch. The larvae drop to the ground, burrow into the soil. And in 2021, the cycle will repeat.
For me, it's a reassuring thing. It's a natural cycle that has come around once again.
It's a pretty amazing thing if you think about millions and millions of them sitting under the ground, just waiting 17 years. And then knowing instinctively, now's the time. We're going up.
It's a great survival strategy. There is no one or even combination of predator species that can eat them all up entirely. And again, their goal to pass their genes on to the next generation by mating.
Now, the mating season, this is when all the fun begins.
Right. That's all the noise or the song that you're hearing in the treetops. And while one individual isn't all that loud, when you have tens and hundreds of thousands in the treetops, and millions actually, all singing at the same time saying, hey,
here I am.
I'm your best bet. You know, here I am.
In a couple of weeks, how loud is it going to be out here?
Well, that's one thing I want to do this time, and is take a decimeter and just see how many decibels we're dealing with. Because in some places, it really is deafening with a large concentration of them.
Okay, we'll be back in a month or so, and we'll find out.
Okay, that sounds good.
And Melissa is back in our studio right now after that trek to the suburbs. You located some cicada files there. Are people also approaching this with a little more angst than eagerness?
This is a source of great worry for a lot of people, some who have phobias and others who just don't like the idea of a lot of stuff flying around and hitting them in the face. You do hear anecdotally stories of people who are leaving town for about the month or so when the cicadas are going to be here, planning vacations in parts of the country where there won't be any cicadas. So, yeah, there's definitely that sense of it, too.
Melissa, I was wondering how this will affect outdoor springtime activity, weddings and barbecues. And my daughter happens to turn 5 Memorial Day weekend, and we were planning on having a birthday in the backyard. Do I dare send the kids back in the backyard with bug jars?
Yeah, they'll probably love it. I mean, you'll see advice on websites about if you're planning your wedding, you know, get exploration kits for kids, move the food inside, and maybe you want to have a very, very loud stereo to drown them out. But for kids, this is a great time. They're going to have a good time finding them.
I won't be hearing about these bad memories for the rest of my life.
Well, you might.
What does it mean for the trees to have these little critters in them once every 17 years?
Well, the only trouble is when the females lay eggs, and it's only usually a problem for small trees, maybe new planting or decorative trees. And what some garden folks will tell you to do is to get some netting to cover the trees to protect them from the cicadas. But for larger trees, it's considered a form of natural pruning. The end of the branch may die off, but the rest of the tree is fine. And they're not eating the tree. It's not like a plague of locusts where they come in and eat everything in sight. They just do their thing for a month, they mate, they die.
Other than the gross-out factor, are they at all dangerous? Do they bite or sting?
They don't bite, they don't sting, and it's just, for many people, a nuisance. It can be, once they die and all their skeletons are on the ground, it can be crunchy and, I hear, rather smelly mess until it's cleaned up. And animals help with that to some extent. They nose around and they like to eat them. There is a warning about for pet owners, that dogs or cats who may like to eat a lot of these, that it can cause some digestive trouble and you might want to keep your pet away from them.
We should put this in context with people who know they've been hearing cicadas in their backyard, and it wasn't just 17 years ago. They hear them all the time. This is one enormous bunch of cicadas, but there are others.
This brood 10, yeah, this brood 10, which is all across these 15 states, plus the District of Columbia, that come out every 17 years. But yes, there are larger cicadas, actually larger in size, that are called dog day cicadas. They come out later in the year, in July and August. But again, not as prevalent, not as many, and not in as broad a swath of the country as we're going to see this year.
And what's the window of time?
It starts in a few weeks, depends on the soil temperature, as we mentioned. They'll be out and about for about a month, and then wait till 2021.
And get out your brooms.
Yep.
Well, thank you, Melissa. And you can hear recordings of cicada songs and also find recipes for cooking them up at our website, npr.org.
Our program is directed by Bob Boylan, edited by Steve Drummond, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Michael Cullen.
At the foreign desk, Lauren Jenkins, Ted Clark, Bob Duncan, Jeff Sandman, Douglas Roberts, Dee Dee Skanky, and Rina Advani.
Librarians include Denise Chen, Catherine Baer, Beth Howard, Giselle Foss, Dan Onstead, Maureen Clements, and Robert Goldstein.
Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.